Greetings and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and yours truly, your host, Link Flores. How's everybody doing out there in the world? I hope you guys are doing great. Thanks to the listeners, I just checked the other day, and I was surprised by going to my social media account on Instagram and finding out that, I put it on Instagram, and I found out that I actually have listeners out in France and Uruguay, so to whomever you guys are, and there's at least one of you, thank you very much. I appreciate all of you. I'm going to check the analytics maybe like once a month from now and just to kind of see how things are tracking. But that was pretty rad to find out that people as far away as France and, you know, Uruguay were listening to the podcast. It's been a while since I think I've had an international listener, so that was pretty cool. So I guess for our French listeners, bonjour. And was it welcome is bienvenue, and for our Uruguayan listeners, hola, and bienvenidos, welcome to the podcast. So like I said, all the sharing and everything I think is really working. I'm super excited about that. Thank you so much. I want you guys to cruise on over to patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. I'm going to be putting up a post this week describing a little bit more about how I want to do like the Patreon podcasts, and I'm going to be switching them to a bi-weekly or like a once monthly kind of thing where I'll take your questions, comments, all that stuff and read them there. And again, you can just follow for free over there. And then one of those will just be like a free bonus episode just tailored to your questions. And then another one, what I want to do is to have a special one just for the folks who are subscribed to the Patreon. I'll dig in a little deeper, and we're going to do an advice segment called Roll the Dice for Advice, where I'll take a 12-sided dice D12, and I'll roll it, and depending on where it lands, you either get good advice, bad advice, or joke advice, just for the giggles. I figure that might be a fun thing to try, and adding some different content over there, too, Please feel free to check me out over at patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. The links are in the podcast description. And let's get at it. You know what? Let's start it off because it's going to be a wild episode. Oh, man. So much to think about. And I'm really glad that I started switching back to Wednesdays to record and release the podcast. Because there's so much stuff just seems to happen like right before Wednesday lately, and it's amazing. I'm glad I made that decision. I hope you guys are gonna enjoy it too. First off, why is it so hot? I will never get used to this. As long as I live in Florida, I'm still gonna bitch, moan, and complain about it because I can't stand it. I really wanted to move out of this fucking state because I, above and beyond the politics, the bad drivers, you know, the rude people that you just meet every single freaking day around here. The one thing that's always been a big sticking point for me is the fucking weather. Why does it need to be summer 8 months out of the year? We're not that close to the equator that this should be a problem, but it is. And I hate it because it's a stupid problem to have, but it's still a problem that I have. But the good news is, and for the rest of you guys who are in Florida, ha ha ha, suck it. I like this. it's raining pretty much every day for at least maybe like 5 to 6 hours a day. And I love that. If nothing else, it does make it kind of sticky and gross outside, but thankfully we have air conditioning, so that helps. But yeah, the fact that it gets like these nice overcast days in the middle of the day, it's not too bright, it's not too dark. It's just a nice, even, you know, kind of mild lighting for everything. It's almost like mood lighting for the world. And and then the clouds come, and then sometimes they part, and then a little bit of sunshine comes through, and you're like, oh, that's nice. So yeah, I'm liking the rainier weather in Florida is my favorite part of the year, with the exception of what we get like a Florida winter when it gets, oh yeah, it went down to like 25 degrees today. I'm like, this is like home. It feels amazing, and it makes everybody else sad, and that makes me giggle for some reason. That might be something I need to look at with therapy and prayer, but I can't tell you how much it makes me laugh to watch all the native Floridians in, like, you know, triple fat goose coats and thick down boots, and I'm outside in like a hoodie and jeans and a pair of sneakers, and I'm like, this is living. Oh man, it really makes me giggle. I'm so looking forward to like the end of September when that weather finally starts to come back. But hey, right now it's moving down to the mid-80s as opposed to the mid-90s. I'll take it. I can't wait for another week or two when it starts to drop into like the low, like mid to high 70s, somewhere in there. You know, when every day the highest temperature is going to be like 78 degrees, I'm going to be like, this is beautiful. I could deal with the place where it's 78 degrees, like the average high temperature. That would be amazing. This 105 degree shit, this is for the birds. It's not even for the birds. That's what I noticed too. The birds don't even like to be out when it's this hot. They're always just gone. They don't even come out until like the afternoon and evening when the sun starts to go down. Come around like 9, 10 o'clock, everybody's just tucked away in their nest sleeping. So even the birds don't want this shit. What is wrong with the rest of you people? I have no idea. Crazy swamp dwelling hell people. That's all I'm going to call you guys from now on. Everything, there's something wrong with the mindset of a person that wants to be here. It's crazy. Nah, but yeah, I'm over the hot weather. This is like I've always loved autumn and winter. They're my favorite two seasons. I can deal with spring, but you know, then everybody complains about the allergies, and I don't really care for the excessive pollen because that makes everybody go crazy a little bit, right? But fall, autumn, winter, oh man, just it's the best. You know what I mean? Not only are like the best holidays there, that's when the best music is on the radio. Even though people complain about Christmas music, I personally love it. I think it's great. And then yeah, you know, there's just like a general sense of like joviality that kind of hits everybody. Yeah, granted, you get those horror stories of people like all running over one another on Black Friday, but that's why I don't go because I feel like you don't win if you have to put up with that many people and deal with that much crazy and anger. I feel like you lost. I'd rather pay the extra money and just be able to kick it and be safe and keep all my teeth. You know what I mean? Like, screw that, dude. I'll pay an extra $15 for the thing. You know what I mean? If I, you know, keep my ribs intact, it's not worth it. Yeah. So, oh, and speaking of holiday stuff, guess what we just heard? We're gonna do some gaming news right now. I haven't really talked about this much because I didn't really know if I was as invested in the idea, but I've become more intrigued by the concept of the game universe Warhammer 40,000 or Warhammer 40K, as a lot of people refer to it. There's something about the lore of and the build of the world that's very Gears of War meets H.R. Giger, and I kind of dig it in a way. I'd love to learn more about the world, but I started out small. I figured I'd pick up some of the games that are in that universe, the video games at least, because the board games just look incredibly intimidating, although they look rad as fuck. If you ever get a chance to look up Warhammer 40K figurines, oh man, some of the paints that these people do for these minifigures that they build, that they create for the game, are absolutely insane. Like the level of detail and artistry is brilliant. So if you ever get a chance, look it up. But I picked up a Warhammer 40K bolt gun on the Xbox Series X, and I've really enjoyed it. It's very, how do you put it? It's very much in the style of the classic Doom and Duke Nukem shooters from the old PC days, with a little bit more of a stylistic bent to them. Higher frame rates, obviously, more action, a little bit more kinetic. But just as wild and crazy as you would expect from like a first person shooter like that. And it's just big, dumb action movie fun. I love it. Warhammer 40K Space Marine 2, however, released this week, and a couple of my friends have already picked it up. I've avoided picking up any more games so far this year, after picking up Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door remake, just because there's no way I could justify adding another game to my docket that I haven't finished yet. I still haven't beaten Baldur's Gate 3, and that game's been out almost a year. And I was playing it on stream, which reminds me, I probably need to load that up today and play it so I can get through at least another chunk of it. But yeah, so I looked at Warhammer 40K Space Marine 2, and it does have, again, that Gears of War meets the Aliens movie franchise aesthetic. But my buddy Payne was telling me, he's like, yeah, dude, since I don't really like swarms of things at all, ants, like lots and lots of birds, like I don't freak out, but they make me real uneasy. Swarms of insects, I hate that. Like it just makes my skin crawl. There's one time you've probably seen it, it's a popular YouTube video clip of, I want to say it might be in Southeast Asia. I'm not 100% sure, but there's like this road that's just overrun with ducks. And it's nothing but just like hundreds of probably of ducks just swarming this entire road. And that video made me itch, and they're ducks. You know what I mean? With the baseball bat and a trash can lid, I could probably take out the entire swarm of them. But it's just the fact that there were so many that freaked me out. And the game has this mechanic that they really worked on, a swarm mechanic to show like endless fields of enemies rushing at you. And it's supposed to build this feeling of like dread and like being at any moment you could be overwhelmed. And that just does not sit well with me. And so my buddy was playing it and he sent me a message. He's like, yeah, the game's great, but you and your like fear or whatever it is of swarms are going to be really put to the test. So I'm like, maybe we'll pass on this one. It's the same reason I passed on A Plague Tale, because while I like the idea of the narrative story of A Plague Tale, you know, trying to survive the bubonic plague with all the rats and stuff, it was the idea of hundreds and thousands of rats swarming over me that made me almost like peel my skin off. It was just too unsettling. Anywho, game looks great. I'm sure people are having a blast playing it. I've heard nothing but positive things so far, and I hope you guys are enjoying it if that's your thing. Just missed me with that shit. I can't see a universe in which that's something that I'm gonna be like chomping at the bit to get. Now, I would probably play it. And here's the other thing too. I might actually enjoy it. But I don't know that it's something I was just going to go rushing out to go pick up. So we'll see. But another gaming news, I have another thing to mention. Most of you, if you're a gaming fan, you probably remember that not too long ago, Sony Computer Entertainment purchased the studio that creates Destiny 2, Bungie. So they purchased Bungie. And again, this is like the second time that Bungie has gone back to the Sony teat for money. And it didn't work out great the first time. Let's put it that way. It didn't work out so great the first time. And it doesn't look like it's shaping up any better this time around. It seems like every third fiscal quarter for the last 2 years, Bungie has another series of layoffs. They did another one just recently. Actually, not the third. Maybe the beginning of every fiscal year, pretty much. They do like a round of layoffs, so that their CEOs can still continue to buy their super expensive sports cars and flaunt it in the face of the rest of the developers and the creative team. But I digress. But now that they've gotten another infusion of cash from Sony with this recent purchase and whatnot, looks like Sony's kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel now. So they've got to be crying poor, because there's no other reason why I could think of the boneheaded release of the Sony PlayStation 5 Pro. We've mentioned this before, I think, on the podcast. I know I've talked about this before on other shows, on other podcasts I've been on, and that the idea of a completely digital console, the world's still not really ready for. Like, the PC was one thing, because at least during the PC era, you would at least have, like, install discs, like in the very early days of the PC. You'd have an install disc or something to codify that you had the game and you owned the game. But now, with the way that they're enforcing digital rights management and, you know, the numbers of stores, just online stores that have closed down, either because of lack of sales or lack of support, or just we don't want to maintain the servers anymore, it's staggering to watch people lose entire libraries. The two most recent ones that I can think of was the Xbox 360 store, which closed just recently. Although, according to legend, if you currently have the DRM for it, the store itself is closed, so you can't purchase anything else from it, but you could still re-download your old Xbox 360 games that you purchased digitally. that's a thing that's still supposedly able to happen. I don't know how true that is. That's just what I've been hearing lately. And since I have all my stuff backed up on double hard drives, I'm not too worried about it. But there is another anime service, actually Funimation, that was recently shut down. And the really shitty thing about that was a lot of people would use Funimation to watch their movies and stuff. Kind of like a lot of how people treat Netflix or Disney Plus or Paramount Plus or whatever, right? You don't buy the DVD anymore because you have the streaming service. So why have plastic in your house, right? You just pay somebody to store it somewhere else and you watch it whenever you want to. Well, here's the real problem with that. And it's something that we see a lot when a show gets moved or canceled or switches networks or whatever. Once you don't have access to that network, you no longer have access to that content. And that's what happened to Funimation. Those poor people had actually bought shows on Funimation's service. And Funimation's like, we're closing, and those things are gone. There's no digital backup that you can take with you. You couldn't download them to like a DVD unless you'd figure out a way to do that beforehand. What if you paid for it and you had it for like however many years Funimation was in business and they closed, that was it. No mas. You just were ass out for that. And I know the pain of that because that was the thing that I had when Google Play decided to shut itself down without telling anybody really how to get their shit back. And I lost hundreds of dollars worth of albums to Google Play. It's one of the reasons why I don't trust new shit from Google. Because Google Play was such a revolutionary thing to me that I didn't have, you know, an iPad. I didn't have I didn't have any kind of like Apple devices at all. You know what I mean? And so I didn't get into Apple Music or iTunes or anything like that. So when I first got into it, I got into Google Play because I had an Android phone. I bought a bunch of music that was just really cool to have conveniently in my pocket. And then Google Play closed down the store and all the digital music that I had was just erased. I even did their backup options to like, hey, you can back all this stuff up to your hard drive. I'm like, great. Cause I have like a couple, almost a 2 terabytes worth of memory. I could at least save it to my hard drive. And then when I've saved it to my hard drive, I could take it home, you know, rip it to a jump drive, rip it to like an external drive. Then eventually put that on CDs or whatever. Nope. None of their stupid backup options work. And Google just was just like, oh, well, sucks to be you. I'm like, yo, I did this multiple times before it was supposed to have shut down. You guys owe me money. You stole from me. And because I paid for this thing, so I should own it. And they're like, well, you paid for the rights to be able to access it on our service. I'm like, oh, you fuckers. And I'm not saying that I encourage piracy or theft of any kind, but if purchase isn't ownership, then I guess piracy isn't really stealing because they don't own it either, do they? Nope. The only way you stole it is if you stole the actual server. So I'm just saying, as a semantic argument, that sounds like it makes a lot of sense to me. But yeah, anyway, back to the PlayStation. Yeah, Sony decided they're going to put out the PS5 Pro, and here's the facts of it. While it does have some advancements that are being made to the overall technical specs, including, you know, enhanced support for ray tracing to improve the graphical quality for those of you out there who aren't really, you know, speak geek terms, faster processing power and things of that nature, they removed the disk drive, so you won't have a disk drive anymore. It's completely digital. They took away the stand again, no stand that comes with it. They'll show you the console advertised with the stand standing upright, looking all slim and sleek. But in actuality, you have to lie it down on its side to play it. From what I understand, the stand is not included. So no to that. And then also it's $699.99. So $700 fucking. They really must be hurting after buying Bungie, and they must really be feeling the shock after Bungie laid off all those people and they're still not getting a quality product out of them. Sorry, Sony, that was a stupid mistake. You shouldn't do this anymore. Stop playing Captain Save-A-Ho to Bungie. What you really need to do is go in there and gut the CEO sec, the C-suite of people. Gut that whole thing out and promote the people who are actually the heads of their departments in the creative fields to work those C-sections. you know what I meant, work in the C-suite, they would have a better idea of how to handle it and then rule by committee as opposed to the way you guys have been doing it forever and it fucking doesn't work. Anyway, but yeah, so the PlayStation made a really boneheaded move. They announced that during a technical showcase that I saw on IGN's Twitch channel. And by and large, everybody, all the pundits that were there and the chat were all just like, what the hell is this? I thought we were going to see something amazing. We've already said no to this, which is true. Sony had already attempted a version of the PS4 Pro, and it was largely panned by the community, critics, you know, reviewers. Everybody's like, this is a stupid idea. It'll never catch on. Why are you doing this? And then they figured, you know what? It's been a couple years. They probably forgot. Let's try it again. They didn't. People are just as mad now. And it's even funnier because Sony has somehow, I don't know how or when, they thought this was a good idea. They thought this was a good idea to continue to push this, and it's not going to work. What's going to happen is because people see no real, and this is a thing that I just heard recently, and I'd never paid attention much to the Sony ecosystem after the last like 3 years. I'm like, whatever. But since Sony is not really putting out a lot of first-person exclusive titles, which was Sony's biggest bragging point, right? At least it was for the Sony fanboys out there. We get all the exclusive titles. What does Xbox have? What does Nintendo have? Mario, Halo, we are superior. Yeah, you paid a superior amount of money for a poor product. Sucks to suck. And your PlayStation Plus is ass, so your online networks are just garbage. So miss me with that bullshit. But yeah, anyway, Sony's already making a lot of missteps along the way, and they're just, this is a bigger one into a bigger pile of shit. And I think that if they don't course correct real fucking quick, it is a real dumb thing to announce this far ahead of the holiday season. You're going to see a lot of people just kind of snooze on Sony products. Most people I know, if they don't already have a PS5, they have a PlayStation 4, most of those games play on the PlayStation 4 anyway. So they're like, why would I upgrade? There's no point. Like, there's nothing on PlayStation 5 that isn't on my PS4. Why would I bother buying another piece of plastic? And to that I say, yeah, good on you. Do what you do. You're not going to get any arguments from me. But yeah, weird stuff, man. The gaming universe is going crazy. Crazy. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just weird. I've been looking around at everything that seems to be going crazy. There's a couple of things too, like just a couple of little quick hitters. And then I'm going to get to the topic that I'm sure is on everyone's minds, considering that today is November 11th, Wednesday, November 11th, 2024. Also, never forget, rest in peace to those who died. And thanks to the first responders and all that. All right, now that we got the obligatory 9/11 thing out of the way, I don't want to seem disingenuous, but here's the thing for me when it comes to 9/11. Yes, it was horrible tragedy. Yes, it was awful and people lost their lives. There are still a lot of living people right here that we've completely forgotten. So when people tell me to never forget 9/11, I'm like, well, let's not forget Jim, the veteran who lives under the bridge and walks around like washing windows every day to get a little something to eat. You know, let's not forget him. You know, let's not forget Jane, the single mother whose baby dad left her. She's pregnant, and now she lives in a state where she can't get an abortion from the guy that she's been dying to get away from, who used to cheat on her and beat on her. And she's got to carry this baby to term because their state says that she can't have an abortion. Let's not forget her. I'm not saying you should forget the people who died in 9/11, but let's also not forget the people who are still alive right here who need us. We seem to always get wound up around shit like this and then completely forget the living, breathing human beings who are standing shoulder to shoulder with us every day. To that point, I just came back around and saw this news article that my wife showed me the other day. Is Ron DeSantis, I keep calling him Ron DeSantis because it makes me happy in my heart to think of him as this catty little Southern belle. He's been using the Office of Election Crimes and Security, basically a fake news police force he concocted a few years back, as well as the state police, to go door to door in Tallahassee and ask people about their petition responses to voting on Amendment 4 here in the state of Florida. For those of you who don't know, Amendment 4 in the state of Florida is to codify into state constitution a woman's right to have an abortion. And that's one of those things that they just, they don't want women to have abortions, but then they also don't want people to have educations because they want to eliminate the Department of Education. And they keep defunding initiatives that would educate people. Instead, they want to indoctrinate them by putting the Ten Commandments in every classroom. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the Ten Commandments, but why do you need to shove it down people's throats, but you won't let them read To Kill a Mockingbird? I don't know. I don't get it. But yeah, so Ms. DeSantis has been trying to use his power to... I'm sorry, that was rude. But Ron DeSantis keeps using his authority in a way to try to flex on those who don't agree with this ideology that he's supposed to be aligned with. I don't think that Ron DeSantis has actually thought about the overall impact that Amendment 4 failing this election cycle is going to have on his career. It's already bad enough that a lot of women, especially Republican women, are secretly turning in their own ballots and they're getting mail-in ballots and stuff like that so that they can vote for their own self-interest, which is crazy that in 2024 we have women who are so afraid of what their conservative spouses are thinking that they're literally sneaking around like they're going to a speakeasy just to exercise their right to vote. That's wild to me, but you're absolutely hearing it through various news outlets, not just locally here in the state of Florida, but also in neighboring states as well. Georgia, Louisiana, Texas. It's been reported in like the Associated Press. It's bizarre that women are feeling that afraid and that, I mean, it feels like they're walking backwards in time, and it's terrifying to watch. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I have women in my family. I'm sure you do too. You love them. You care about them. You don't want them to be disenfranchised and be turned into marginalized into like, you know, second class citizens. Do you? Why does this not bother any more people? More people should be upset about this. That's what I think. So it's just, it's something that irritates me because one of the most outspoken, I guess one of the most outspoken groups that you can look to when it comes to injustice ends up becoming women. Like, men will speak, but generally speaking, they're kind of looking for someone to lead them. Women will speak out in spite of their own self-interest. Like, against their own self-interest, they'll say something because they're like, this is the right thing to do. It's an impressive characteristic. More men should possess it, I think. I think a lot of times you get one dude at the front and he yells loud enough for everybody else to listen, and then nobody else either will or has the will challenge him or has the ability to challenge him. Either nobody has the willpower or the ability to challenge that, and then they just kind of go with the flow. Women will see something messed up and be like, hold on. No. Not this. We're not doing this. I'm not saying that men can't, but I'm saying a lot of times men don't, and it's really fucking sad. So I've been really worried about hearing the responses I'm seeing when it comes to Amendment 4. And they're like, yeah, if we can find ways to keep more people, basically what you're thinking about, you know, pregnant, stupid, and in the kitchen, especially women, then we don't have to worry about that whole section of the constituency telling us what we can and can't do. Even to the point where they're like, yeah, we support the right to life, but not if you want to have it artificially. IVF is off the table for you. No family for you. If you can't do it naturally, fuck you. Well, then what good are they then? Are they going to be the childless cat ladies that J.D. Vance says that they are? What are you going to do with the ones who are not able to reproduce or not willing to reproduce? What's your answer to that? That's a question I don't think that anybody wants to really hear the answer to. Because it's a question I don't think that ends anywhere good. I know that they've gone door to door in my neighborhood flyering to try to scare people about Amendment 4 and saying, oh, they're saying they're going to take the babies right as they're born, and they're just going to leave them on the operating table to die, which is something, again, we will get to in a little while, because that is absolutely a thing that is being said by certain people in the conservative movement. And by certain people, I mean quite a few, a scary amount, are saying this. And people are generally an individual, like Tommy Lee Jones said in Men in Black. Individuals are smart, have merit, intelligence. People are stupid, scared, mindless creatures, and you know it. Group people, like society, dumb. Just dumb. And willful. Again, like I said, willing to be led, begging to be led, almost asking to be commanded around. You guys have probably seen the Avengers when Loki stands before all the people in Germany and makes them all bow. He goes, this is your nature. This is your nature to be subjugated, to be ruled, to be commanded, to be lorded over. You crave someone to tell you which way to go. And in a weird way, it's actually pretty true, especially when you have no will of your own. Or you have no desire to formulate one or to use your own mental faculties. But I digress again. It's terrifying to look at. But these people sincerely believe that this is the way to go. So I'm going to let you know, if you're within the sound of my voice and you're going to be voting in the state of Florida in this November, make sure that you vote yes for Amendment 4 and Amendment 3, which is to legalize marijuana, recreational marijuana sales. I believe it was recreational. No, it's the medical sale. That's the one. No, the medical one's cool. The medical one's fine. You can get your medical card. This is to legalize recreational marijuana for adults 21 years and up. You can possess up to 3 ounces of marijuana, with up to 5 grams of that being in the form of concentrate. So, yeah. Definitely want this one to pass. Medical marijuana is already here. But since the medical marijuana passed 71-29, I don't think the recreational one's going to get too many challenges. But I'm going to cross my fingers, knock on wood, sacrifice a goat, and pray that that actually passes and that people do go and vote yes on Amendments 3 and 4 in the state of Florida. Please make sure you do. I'm not saying do your research, do your due diligence and look up these amendments. They're posted online for you to look at so you can read about them and learn about them before you go to the ballot box. So make sure that you do that and don't get lost in the sauce. So you have your ducks in a row when you walk into the voting booth and you don't get confused or blown away by stuff. Hey, what's this? But I didn't know what that was there. Make sure you go and do the looking around and thinking about it first. It's just crazy to look at and go, people just don't know. And there's really no excuse, because the vast majority of us in like most developed countries are walking around with a supercomputer in our pocket. And you can use it to, you know, generate stupid AI photos of what you would look like as a Renaissance painting, or look at titties on the internet. You know what I mean? Or laugh at stupid memes all day long. Or you can use it every now and again, maybe for like an hour a day. You use it to look up a topic that you don't know anything about, that you see in the news or read about in a blog post or something, and educate yourself just a tiny bit. How about make that a challenge? I'm not yelling necessarily at you, dear listener, but just I'm talking about humanity in general. You know, if somebody catches you scrolling around on your phone, like, hey, what are you doing? I'm reading about this ballot initiative that I just read about. It's the one that just was cut down basically in the state of Florida that says that, yeah, we don't want to change school board elections from nonpartisan to partisan. But then they said, yeah, we want to do exactly that, because Republicans run the Senate and the House in the state of Florida. And so basically they want to say, like, hey, your school board elections, those should be politicized too. We don't want your kids to know about other religions. We don't want them to know that gay or trans people are people. And we definitely don't want them to know that slavery was real. But they should definitely be able to find out that their next school board president's a God-fearing Republican, not some heartless liberal. Yeah, that should be a thing that we should be worried about. Get the fuck out of here. So maybe you spend a little time reading up on shit like that. That might help. I know how indignant I sound, and I actually am. I really am. But the thing about it is, because it blows my mind how many people will just latch onto something that they hear, and then they'll, because it fits their ideology, you know what I mean? Then they just trust that as gospel truth. They never question it. They never blink, bat an eye, nothing. You said that first, and that's the first thing I heard. I'm going to go with that for the rest of my life forever and always. I'll never think about it again. Thank you. Stupid. I guess we really only have ourselves to blame, though. It's like those, it's like what it is. I think it's just this, and I know that in a way I kind of play into this a little bit as a podcast, but I'm hoping that what I'm doing is not just me talking for the sake of talking, but hopefully maybe putting something positive and, you know, in, at the very least informative out into the world. Because I don't hear a lot of other people saying some of this stuff. Sometimes I do, and I'm like, that might not be the right milieu, might not be the right venue. I'm going to give it my own shot. But it makes me think of, like, even my own podcast is like one of those, so-and-so was this and the other, you know, but you can do the better, you know, it's like national something or whatever day. I'm a firefighter. Bet you no one will share this. Bet your ass I won't. Those are the ones I hate. When they try to play on your, like, sense of decency as a human being or your sense of patriotism just for the, I bet this won't even get one share. Not for me, it won't. I'll bet your sweet ass I'm not gonna. Shit like that. I bet I won't get one share. I bet I won't get one like. Nope. It's a weird kind of virtue signaling, in my personal opinion. It's also like those people who will send you like a message from like their business account or whatever. Like, I have business social media profiles and shit like that. But I would never send somebody that I knew personally a direct message to be like, hey man, come and follow my stuff. You know, like my post, follow my business. Fuck you. I've had that happen from people I haven't talked to in years. Like, we don't talk, we don't hang out. You know what I mean? You barely even know that I exist as a human being. But here you are begging for me to go and like your post, vote for this. Do this, do that. Like, fuck off. You know what I mean? You couldn't even wish me happy birthday for like the last like 5 years in a row. Now you want me to like your fucking t-shirt business? Go fuck yourself. The arrogance, the audacity of you. You know what I mean? It's one thing if you posted it like on social media, right? And I see it. I can be like, oh, okay, I don't care. I'll just scroll right past it. But when you take the time out of your day to come right to me and be like, hey, would you do this for me? Fuck you. Who are you? You know what I mean? Like, you've never engaged with me. You never talked to me. You don't give a shit about me. You just want me to support your thing so you look better. No. It's aggravating. And I know we can't reach out to everybody in our lives, but you, these are people like you've been around. You've seen what I do. You know me. You were probably even really good friends with me at one point. And then all of a sudden now you ain't got nothing to say. Or even you were good friends with me and it just kind of been like just some dead weight floating around on my friends list that I forgot we don't even talk like that. And then you just pop up and be like, hey man, I need your help with something. What? Somebody die? Really? You getting evicted? No? What is it? Oh, can you follow my, I make wooden spoons I carve out of trees that fall in the woods. Get the fuck out of my face. I wish I could spit through the internet sometimes. Shit makes me angry because it assumes that I have nothing better to do than to help you when you had no intention of talking to me until you needed something from me. Fuck that. Fuck that. That's one of the things that irritated me this week. The other one was irritating me, and I did this. Tom Segura had this great bit about how once you find a parking space, until you're ready to leave, it's yours. And he had a great joke where he says sometimes he'll get in the car and turn it on and then he'll press on the brake pedal so it looks like he's getting ready to go into reverse and then he just lets go of the brake. He's like, and there's a guy in the lane behind him getting ready to turn into what he thinks is going to be his new spot and he's like freaking out. So that happened exactly to me the other day when I was shopping, and I'm not going to lie, I was feeling really petty, but it was also because of the way this person did it, all right? It wasn't like this was an overly crowded parking lot. There were no other available spots. There weren't multiple rows. It wasn't like there's like two rows of parking, right? I'm parked in the center lane going for the grocery store. And this center lane is actually drives away from the front of the store. So that means that it's the main thoroughfare. All the traffic is going to come right through this one area. It's like a bottleneck. And I've got the first parking spot that isn't one of those, you know, either handicapped spots or the ones that they reserve for people who are like picking up DoorDash orders or to-go orders, right? I've got like the first one. I was just very lucky, managed to walk right in there. I'm like, cool. I got my stuff. I got the car turned on. AC's kicking so that the cold items stay cold. And I'm getting ready to get into the car, but I was on the passenger side and I looked through the car and I could see this blue Civic just flashing its blinkers. Like it's waiting for me to hurry up and move so it can take my spot. But it's literally blocking the entire lane of traffic. And so much so that if another car pulls up behind it and wants to go in the same direction that it's facing, like down the lane where we all are, that car will now be blocking both entrances or both sides of this lane, you know what I mean, which runs in front of the store. So, no. I also realize I'm getting messages from people. I can obviously go to my next destination and read them. I'm not going to, though. Not now. Not that whomever this is just sitting there waiting on me. Like, hey, are you going to hurry up, buddy? I need that parking spot. I'm like, oh, do you? I don't think that you do. So I get in the car, and I did exactly the same thing he did. I had already turned it on. So then I pressed on the brake, and then I hit the starter, and it was still in park. And then I let go of the brake and just sat there. Started scrolling through my phone. Now, the whole time I'm doing this, I can see in my side view mirror that whomever this is just waiting for me to move, right? But what else I see is two more cars are coming right along behind them. And they're like, we have to go. So while I'm sitting here scrolling through my messages and taking my time, not swipe texting, not voice texting, just tapping each letter one by one just to be as aggravating as possible. They can't see this, but it's taking more time than it needs to. The silver sedan that pulled up behind them is like, beep, 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 like, move. It took everything I had not to burst out laughing. I was just like, oh my God. So after the silver sedan beeped, the blue car finally pulled away. The silver sedan was not even parking. They were like, I need to get out of here. So then another car came behind them. It was like two more vehicles after the blue Civic. I put my phone down, you know, got my seatbelt on, backed out. I start driving. And I see the lady who is in the blue Civic walking down the lane towards me. And as she's looking at me, she's looking at the car like, huh? And I'm like, hey. Got this little evil gremlin smile on. Because I'm just like, ah, you got yelled at, la, 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 la. But it wasn't my fault. I'm like, hey, look, I already patronized the store. Strictly technically speaking, I could sit there as long as I need to. But I definitely sit there as long as I want to. Especially if you think you're going to move me. No. And I think the only shitty thing about that really was that I went to this Publix, which is where shopping is a pleasure down here in the South. And it was the second time that I've gotten bad meat from this place in the last week. Earlier, before the weekend, I went to go and pick up, you know, just like a half pound or whatever, like maybe like a pound of ham, just previously sliced deli ham. And I picked it up and brought it home. And the next morning, the package had already swelled like a balloon. Now, I don't know what you guys know about packaged foods like that, but particularly packaged meats. If you buy a package of meat and it's, you know, vacuum sealed most of the time, they shrink wrap it or whatever, and it balloons up, it's gone bad. It's already producing gases inside of it. It's not just oxygen. It's producing some really foul, funky gases, sulfur and shit like that, that you just need to get rid of. So I took it back to go and get it replaced. And then I bought some chicken because I was going to make some fried chicken wings for football on Sunday. And I get the wings and I bring them home. I'm like, all right, I'm super excited. Let's get this party started. And Yeah, an entire pack of those. I opened them up and they smell like they've been sitting out in the sun since that morning. They're just rancid. So I took those back and I ended up missing almost the entire Jaguars game because I was running back and forth to the damn store because of bad meat. So if you work for Publix out there, hey man, tell whoever's working in the deli to do their fucking job and rotate the stock. Pay attention to the stickering on shit. And maybe talk to the people who drive them freezer trucks. Make sure they don't leave them parked in the sun with the freezers off. Because you're going to kill somebody one day. You almost got me, but I'm too smart for that shit. So, check your shit. Speaking of the Jaguars game, Gridiron Gripes is back, baby! So, last week was opening week for the NFL season. Whatever the fuck it is right now. For this 2024-25 season. And, yeah, it was a weird day, man. Like I said, I couldn't see the game I wanted to see the most, which was, Chicago. That would have been a delight to watch. So we popped up with week one of the regular season, Chicago versus the Titans. All three of the games are the teams I usually follow. If you guys remember from when I first started the podcast, I usually follow the Jacksonville Jaguars, Pittsburgh Steelers, just because my wife's family's, you know, fans or whatever, and the Chicago Bears, because that's my team. And all three of them had a game that started on 1 p.m. Eastern, and so I knew naturally that I was not going to see the Bears game at all. But the Bears went up against the Tennessee Titans and put a whooping on them, 24-17. It was a pretty tight game at the beginning, for I saw a little bit of the ticker at the outset. The Titans went off to a real early lead right up into the half, leading 10-3, at which point the Bears rallied back and pulled close. And it was crazy. They scored a touchdown in the third quarter and then basically shut out Tennessee after the half, they scored 3 points at the half, so they scored the remainder of their 24 points. So 21 points, 3 touchdowns over the last two quarters of football. And just kept the Titans down to nothing, which is insane considering this is the Chicago team that basically couldn't put two wins together to rub them together, set them on fire. But they looked real strong in the preseason, and they came out swinging here in the regular season. I wish I could have seen the game. I have to go back and see if maybe one of the channels that we have recorded it. I know the DVR will occasionally catch stuff if it's on if it's on a cable channel, or like if it's even one of the channels where like it might be like, oh, it's on Paramount Plus, but Paramount Plus is included in your DVR package. Maybe it'll yoink it then. I have to go back and look. And then the Pittsburgh Steelers, in a surprise, actually took out the Atlanta Falcons 18-10. And that seemed to be like a little bit of a back and forth early on. With the Steelers and the Falcons both getting field goals in the first quarter and then moving forward, each scoring a touchdown and Steelers missing an extra point going into the half. And then after that, Steelers went away with it. Stolen 9 points over the next half to end the game 18-10 over the Atlanta Falcons. And then the real disappointment for the day was the Jacksonville Jaguars, but not really. And I have a thing about the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I think the real thing is they showed really strong during the preseason, and people get super excited about preseason wins. Now, I think it's a cool marker to kind of give you an idea of what could be, right? There's certain things that you should probably expect from your team, the basics, the fundamentals, blah, blah, blah. I get it, right? But you have to remember, too, that that's not necessarily putting them their best foot forward. And it's not necessarily the other teams putting their best foot forward, you know, because there's a certain conservation of efforts that you have to put into when it comes to managing a team so that you don't burn out your new guys. You don't get, burn out your new guys so fast on trying to learn, you know, the team composition, the plays and the mechanics of what you're trying to do with your offense or your defense. You also don't want to get anybody hurt, especially not your starters, and then lose them for the first, God forbid, the whole season, but you don't want to lose them for like the first couple of weeks of the regular season and kill any starting momentum to get your team jazzed up, get your fan base fired up, and also put your opponents on their back foot so they're worried about you when you walk on the field. And I think Jacksonville did a pretty good job of doing that early on. I think they just, again, failed to realize that Miami was also not going to take this shit lying down. And they took it for granted, and they paid the price for it. Just small mistakes. I mean, just the smallest mistakes, and letting Miami actually come back. There's a fumbled ball that ended up being a recovery for a touchdown by the Miami Dolphins. And then letting Miami get close enough within field goal range to put the last little, you know, last little nail in the coffin on them and shut them down. Shut them down. 20-17, but it wasn't for nothing. The Jaguars did have a tremendous effort. I mean, 20-17, that's not a bad beat. It's a crappy way to lose, you know, because of a fumble that turns into, you know, a recovery for a touchdown. And then you get, I mean, you were there. That touchdown tied the game up and put them within striking distance of victory. And then they didn't miss. They just decided we weren't going to miss this one. And so they got them. And yeah, that really told the tale right there. But it just also lets you know that the Jaguars have the sauce. They definitely have the sauce to really put screws to people. And they made everybody sit up and pay attention to them. And I think that if anything, the Jaguars as an organization, the players and the staff in general, and fans overall should be proud of the fact that they came out there, they laid it all out in the field, and they did their best. And mistakes can and will happen. The one thing that's irritated me the most when it comes to Jacksonville is outside of the goofy dupe decisions that the upper management makes when it comes to firing coaches and laying off, you know, firing coaches, trading off players, shit like that, just not allowing the Jaguars an opportunity to build a team, expecting them to just be like a paint by numbers masterpiece. And not allowing them an opportunity to grow and build a system, to build trust and stability, and kind of build like a rapport within the team and the staff, and you know, coaching staff and the higher ups and stuff like that, feeling like there's actually some cohesion there. The fans are the worst. Jacksonville Jaguars fans are probably some of the worst in the entire NFL. And I heard somebody make this excuse for them, and I will call it an excuse. That's exactly what it is. Oh, well, you know, they're a young team. They're new. So the fans haven't really had time to get used to, you know, disappointment when, you know, things happen, like a team like Chicago. I know you're trying to pick on Chicago. That's okay. How many Super Bowls does Jacksonville have? Any? How many Super Bowl wins does Jacksonville have? All right. Okay. That's what I thought. So shut the fuck up with that shit. Chicago fans have had to learn how to deal with loss for years. Years. Had one valid Super Bowl in 85 and then one attempt back in 2006 and a couple near misses, but Bears fans stay Bears fans. They stay loyal. We don't like the McCaskies because the McCaskies are a thieving bunch of, you know, old crony bastards. They need to be gone. They need fresh blood in there to keep the organization alive. But we love the fucking team. Jacksonville Jaguars fans hate their team when they lose, and they love them when they win. When they win, it's all Duval. But the second they look like they're about to lose, they're like, same old Jags. There they go, screwing it up again. The most fair-weather fucking fans I've ever seen. I hate watching Jaguars football with, like, Jaguars fans. I'd rather watch it with people who are like, neither one of us give a shit if they win or lose. We're just here to enjoy football. Jaguars fans are the worst. And I mean that shit from my whole soul. The most fair-weather-ass fans I've ever seen. And it's disappointing, too. Because it's not that the Jaguars are a bad team. There are great players on the Jacksonville Jaguars. There always have been. They've had mostly a stronger defense than their offense. But they've always had like a fairly strong core and maybe missing a piece or two here and there. Maybe a little bit of the coaching staff wasn't so great. Maybe some of their offense could have used a little bit of shoring up. Maybe their defense could have been a little more well fleshed out so that they didn't have to ride it so hard. shutting down plays a little bit more efficiently so that it gives the offense more time on the field to either more time on the field or less field to have to run through, that kind of thing. But yeah, Jaguars fans are the worst. They are. They suck. And I wish that wasn't the case because, you know, there's obviously there's great people in Jacksonville. There's great people everywhere, but their fans are just so fair weather. I've seen games. I've been to a game before, and I've been to a couple of Jaguars games actually. And like I've been to one game, and in the third quarter, people were leaving. I'm like, they're still, you know what I mean? Fuck what just is on the clock. There's still like another hour almost of football to play because we're in the third quarter. It means with all the timeouts and this, that, and the other and bullshit, like you still got almost another, at least like another half, 45 minutes of football that's going to be played. Between timeouts, injuries, shit like that, you're going to have time. There's plenty of football left to watch. People are leaving. Like, you guys suck. If I was, I said it before and I'll say it again. I said it all out loud on in public social media. If I were Shot Khan, I'd sell the team to London today. Fuck them. They don't deserve it. They really don't. As much as I want Jacksonville to have this team, I don't want them to have it. Because they don't know how to treat shit. There's no real loyalty. They're only loyal when they win. You know what I mean? It's like you only love a dog when it doesn't poop in the house. Well, eventually it's going to make a mistake. Once it poops in the house, you're going to throw it outside? Leave it to the wolves? Then you didn't really love it in the first place. That's my word. I mean that shit. I mean that shit with everything I got. At least Chicago fans could take a loss. You know what I mean? Been getting the shit kicked out of us for generations. So when we win, we're super grateful. When we lose, hey, we're just glad we're here to play. Got to watch a football game, drink some beer with the homies, eat some pizza. And it's been a good day, you know? Speaking of drinking beer and eating pizza, I just realized I've been well overweight for a while. And I've been cutting back on some stuff in my diet. And that's been helping. But, man, I got to lose some weight before the holidays. Shit. I don't know. And I'm going to take a line from the Good Little Christian's handbook. I'm not going to say that Bears fans are perfect. We're just better. Ah! I know it's going to make some people mad. I don't care. No, I think like almost every other fan base is just way better. Even if they do shitty things, like they're way better in terms of supporting their team. I think Jaguars fans are the worst. You remember they stabbed that dude in Chicago? They stabbed that dude from Chicago a few years ago, right? When Chicago was beating the sauce out of Jacksonville, and this dude was just happy. He was happy watching football, watching his team win. They killed him because he was happy. That's how miserable Jaguars fans are. They stabbed the dude in public. It wasn't like it was at a house party or whatever. It wasn't in the back alley. They stabbed that motherfucker in the club, in the bar. They were hanging out, and they killed him. So yeah, we're just better people. Sucks to suck. Get better. But yeah, I'm sorry. I went back on that because I was saying lose weight before the holidays. It made me think about, just being in bars and stuff like that. Like, you know, I said drinking pizza and eating beer. Kind of what they are. Drinking beer, eating pizza, and just putting on extra weight. Like I've been trying to cook more, cutting stuff out of my diet. Obviously I'm drinking a lot more water than I used to back in the day. I mean, I always really like drinking water, but I'm putting down like probably about a gallon a day. I'm getting close to it. But yeah, man, I want to lose some weight before the holidays. If I'm keeping to what I'm doing right now, I'm thinking I'd probably lose maybe like 15 pounds before the end of November. So right around Thanksgiving time, I could probably drop another 15 pounds. That gets me through the month of September into October, all the way up until November. So basically like two and a half months to lose 15 pounds. And since the weather's starting to cool off, it means I can go back on my bike rides more. And if I keep up with the diet thing that I'm trying to work out right now, I'm pretty sure I could probably drop like 15, maybe 20 pounds, which would put me just around 200 to like 205. Currently, I'm sitting at a really uncomfortable 220, and that's not where I want to be. I want to be much slimmer. I actually would love to get back down to about like 190, maybe 180, which would be perfect, but I need some weights for that, which means I got to clear out a bunch of shit in my garage that doesn't need to be there anymore. Ugh, it's a struggle. And I'm not paying for a gym membership. It's stupid. I'm going to pay money to spend money to go there and work out when I could just pay money to put shit in my garage and work out right there. It's dumb. I've got bikes. There's a rowing machine that's only been used like 3 times since we bought the goddamn thing. I could sell that and get free weights instead. Screw it. Might as well make something work in that space as opposed to just sit there. But yeah, that's definitely got to try to do something to get into better shape. I've been doing a lot more stretching, which is super helpful. Mild calisthenics, which are always great. But I just want to lose weight. I don't even necessarily, I'm not even trying to do it to look good. You know what I mean? Not like I'm going to hit the beach, not hitting the club, not trying to impress any chicks or any shit like that. I just want to look in the mirror and be like, yeah, you're not gross. You know what I mean? And it's been good. Like, just the little bit that I've been doing is helping. I haven't lost a lot, but I did go down. I kind of fluctuate between like 220, 221, down to like 217. And that's a good, I mean, that means that I know that the weight can come off and it will. So it's not like it's like, oh, this is just like bone density or muscle mass. Like, there's just extra shit you can get rid of, dude. I can look at my stomach and see that. And I want to just do that. If you have any weight loss tips or tricks, feel free to write into the podcast and let me know at patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. Again, special promo. Join for free just to hang out and follow. You can follow for free. Or if you want to support, you can sign up for $3 a month. Or if you're curious and you're not ready to commit, you know, kind of like you want to take me on a date, sort of, you can sign up for a 7-day free trial just to check out all the stuff that's currently there and whatever pops up. So 7 days to check out whatever's on the webs on the Patreon for free. It's not no way to lose right there. But yeah. So yeah, if you got any ideas, tips, tricks, whatever, hit me up there and let me know what's worked for you. That'd be cool. I'd like to hear what you guys have to say about that. Let's see, a couple of little things I'm going to skip. Like, first of all, our county's really not doing recycling much anymore. We already know that. It's stupid. Don't need to go into that topic because that's already well gone and dead, especially because we have a big chunk at the end. One of the things I want to talk about was something that was kind of personal that happened recently. And there's someone I've known for a very long time, and I consider it a really good friend. And over the years, I've just kind of watched their attitudes and behaviors change in a way that, like, it was never really outwardly directed towards me, but the way that they interacted with a lot of other people that I knew that I cared about and that were also part of their orbit as well just felt really slimy and untoward. And over the years, I've made attempts to try to bridge those gaps between this particular individual and other people that they've kind of ostracized or who have basically washed their hands of them or whatever, right? And finally, it came to a head after a particularly snippy conversation that was had with another friend of mine. And I'm like, you know what? I've really given a lot to try to be supportive and understanding and to be encouraging. And, you know, there comes a time when you actually have to let people go. And I discussed this briefly with my mother a while back because I was having a struggle with it. And I was like, you know, on the one hand, this person has been a friend of mine for a long time. And on the other hand, I can't reconcile continuing to remain friends with somebody whose behavior puts me at odds with other people that I love and care about. And they made this comment that was like, you know, when people really love you, they never give up on you. And my mom looked at me and I looked at her. I'm like, I know that's not true at all. Lots of times people can love you to pieces. And then your behavior, your decisions and your whatever it is that you've done to push a wedge between you and them will cause them to leave you the fuck alone. And that was kind of where I came to. I was like, I had put so much of myself into trying to make this happen that I realized how arrogant I was being by assuming that for some reason, my presence or the things that I said, like I was imparting some kind of sagacious wisdom to this person, was going to open their eyes they'd see the light, turn around, and then things would be all hunky-dory back to the way they were. No. No. It was arrogant. It was foolish. And in a way, it was selfish, too, because I was doing this because I thought that I could make something happen. When I should have listened to the people who were around me who were already being hurt by this individual and just said, you know what? Nah, we're going to call this a wrap. Like, I can still love you, but I can also love you from a distance. You know what I mean? Like, the closer I hold you to me, the more it's like holding a viper to your chest. It's like, eventually, you're going to get bitten, right? It's just, it's only been like either time and or circumstance, you know, that or chance for whatever reason that you haven't actually bitten me yet. But I'm also not one of those people, if you bite me like that, I'm just going to take this shit lying down. So it's probably for the best that we just part ways. I don't deal with you anymore. And it's a heartbreaker, too. This is somebody I cared about for a very long time. Good friend of mine. And, you know, I've always wanted to be there to support him. But at the same time, like, enough is enough. Enough is, I can't keep carrying water for you at the expense of everybody else who's looking at me and going like, well, why are you doing that? This person's obviously hurting us, right? Why would you continue to, you know, shill out for them? I was trying to think of like what it was, you know what I mean? How could I explain this to somebody else so that they could understand what I was trying to do? And I was like, you know, none of it makes sense. It would never make sense to me. And I had an illustration. It was like, you know, it'd be no different than, like, if I say, okay, let's put it this way. Let's say, I mean, you guys know I have a cat. Let's say that my cat was constantly trying to get outside, was ripping up the furniture and the carpets, was scratching and itching and biting. And, you know, you're like, what is going on? I find out the cat has fleas. You know what I mean? It's allergic to something that's in our fabric softener or whatever. But I like it, so I'm going to keep using it. You know, she doesn't like being outside. She doesn't like being inside. She loves to be outside. But every time she goes outside, she gets fleas. And every time she goes outside, you know what I mean? She tracks in a bunch of mud. But I just keep holding on to her and keep holding on to her and keep holding on to her. And the cat's miserable. You know what I mean? She keeps trying to get away. I keep bringing her back in. She doesn't like being here. When she's in here, she's itchy. She's throwing up. She's pooping all over the place, peeing all over the place, tearing shit up. She's not happy. But I'm keeping the cat around because it seems to, for some reason, fulfill something inside of me. Right? It's a similar concept. You know what I mean? I'm keeping you around only because I think the idea of our friendship is actually more, I'm more invested in that than I am in actually, you know, watching you grow as a person or learn a lesson or be in a better place or me be in a better place. You know what I mean? I use the pet example because it's an easy one. People will sometimes get a pet because the pet fills some kind of void in their life, but the pet's miserable being with them. You know what I mean? They're not well taken care of. They're not getting their emotional or physical needs met as far as exercise and diet and shit like that. But this person can't let them go. Won't let them go. I saw it a lot when I worked at Petco, at PetSmart, I mean, and it was just fucking, it was horrible. People who just would not let the pets be themselves, go like, I need to give this pet up or I need to put it in a home with somebody who can take care of it and I can come visit this motherfucker, but they just had to hold on. And I feel like I was doing the same kind of thing. Like she ended up becoming like a project for me and not a person anymore. And that's not healthy for either one of us. So much as it sucks, had to say goodbye. That was tough. But I'm going to encourage you guys that if you find that you're in a relationship like that, I mean, it could be with the pet, but I mean, especially if it's with the person, when you have to learn how to let go, you got to learn how to let go. Not everything is for everyone. And sometimes they say people come into your lives for a reason or for a season. Sometimes it's a little bit of both. And it was probably that this is my moment to learn that lesson and learn how to let go. Speaking of letting go, we're going to get to the very end of the podcast, which is the moment you've not been waiting for, but we're going to talk about this shit anyway, because we already discussed a little bit of politics, but as we were joking about yesterday, yesterday was the penultimate episode of this last season of America, and that was Trump versus Harris in the brawl for them all up in Pennsylvania. I'm calling it The Reckoning as the title of this episode because Trump got his shit kicked in. You can try to spin it any way you want to. Trump got his ass beat. He got his ass whipped. All right. So you guys have already seen the debate, I'm sure, by now. If you haven't seen the debate, it's everywhere over the internet. I'm certain by today. So go look it up. Make sure you get like yourself one of those debate bingo cards that are on there. Take an evening. You know what I mean? Get yourself a couple of cocktails or whatever with some friends. Do like little tiny shots of like, you know, little tiny shots. Don't do a full shot. You will die. But yeah, do the little Trump bingo drinking game. Yeah, it was bananas. And apparently the onslaught started well before the actual debate started with the Harris Walls team kind of dancing around the new campaign, couple campaign ads, particularly in the state of Pennsylvania and in Philadelphia in particular, more directed towards the people of Philadelphia, you know what I mean? And then Pennsylvania as a state. And then just kind of poking at Trump's peculiar idiosyncrasies, you know, the outright lies that he tells a lot of times in his, all the time in his speeches, and emphasizing some of the less glowing aspects of Donald Trump, as if there were any that were shinier than his hair and his leather skin. And then it just proceeded throughout the day with Trump and I think also J.D. Vance and at least the Trump campaign team posting a bunch of memes based off of a wild accusation somewhere out of Ohio that claimed that Haitian immigrants were stealing people's pets and eating them, which to me was partially hilarious and also very much partially racist, mostly racist. And xenophobic, but yeah, it was hilarious that somebody would even a rational person would not find this even remotely. They would not ascribe a modicum of truth to this, but of course we're not dealing with the most rational people when it comes to the MAGA world, you know, morons. And yeah, Harris came out in presidential fashion. People seem to forget. Like, she's not qualified to be the president. Bitch, who's better qualified? Like, she's literally been the second in command for the last 3.5, full 4 years. Trump was barely awake during his presidency. And when he was awake, he was just wrecking shit. It was like watching a kid throw a temper tantrum in a room full of blocks. He was just constantly doing whatever he could to break as much as he could, make as much noise as he could, and accomplish nothing of any substance whatsoever. So if there's anyone who is more poised of the two to be a president, it would probably be the one who would act the most presidential during the debate. They had never met up until this point, which I didn't even know when I watched the coverage last night. I was like, what? They really haven't? I could have sworn I seen them meet at one. No, guess not. She walked up to him, took the win right out of his sails, first of all, right away. He stood behind the podium. He pulled out to the podium. She walked right to him, extended her hand, introduced herself, and said, you know, pretty much like, pleased to meet you. Let's have a great debate. And then he proceeded to basically stare into the microphone or into the podium and at the moderators the entire time. Couldn't look her in the eye. You know what I mean? Was just combative with the moderators, who were pretty milquetoast to begin with, let's be honest. ABC didn't hire... Now, I will say this. Lindsay Davis was actually, Lindsay Davis was actually a gem to watch. I think she was kind of letting David Muir take the lead on this, which was a mistake because Muir had like all the personality of a wet potato chip and about all the strength of one too. I think if Ms. Davis had taken the charge on this, this would have been a very different sounding debate. Yeah. Lindsay Davis was more direct than David Muir, but she wasn't nearly as assertive, I think, as Rachel Scott was. If you don't remember Rachel Scott was the young lady at the NABJ, the National Association of Black Journalists, a few months back that basically cornered Trump and made him feel, you were very nasty, you were very mean, you didn't, never been greeted in such a way. Something about black women scares the fuck out of Donald Trump. And in that regard, he's not as stupid as he looks. He should be worried. But yeah, he didn't want to look at Kamala Harris at all. He barely even glanced in her direction after shaking her hand. So you could tell he was already on the back foot right off the rip. And then after Kamala Harris's like a peculiar, not quite answer to the first question regarding economics policy going forward, she regained her footing pretty quickly and just kept Donnie on the ropes. If you haven't seen the debate, you will. But from wild claims about Kamala Harris being the border czar, as he continues to call her, which apparently she was never in charge of anything that dealt with illegal immigration, to once again referencing immigrants taking away not black, but African American and Hispanic jobs, all the way down to accusing immigrants of eating people's pets. Again, like I said earlier, old Donnie boy just couldn't stop shoving his foot all the way down his throat, and Kamala was just along for the ride. Just, again, not a whole lot spoken about policy or a core ideology that would further entrench people who are undecided or maybe moderate on either side of the aisle to vote for one or the other. But if you had to look at somebody who could at least become presidential, you had no real clear choice other than Kamala Harris, because Donald Trump has proved yet again why he was not worth being president in the first place. Like I said, by clutching at straws to defend himself, by lashing out at the moderators and Vice President Harris, all the way down to just basically just flat out lying and making up shit on the spot. You could just see a dude flailing. The bizarre abortion claims that doctors would let a baby be born and then execute the baby, which has always been weird to even say out loud. Yeah, I know so many people who are just like, who are so pro-Trump that like the clear and present danger that he represents, just in the wild conspiracy theory. Let's put it this way. If they had never seen Donald Trump before and he showed up on the bus in like a flannel t-shirt, blue jeans and boots and started saying that shit on the bus, they would run to the back or the front of the bus to get away from him. They would think he was another crazy old man who's going to pull his dick out and start jerking off on the bus. That's what they were. He talks like an insane person. If you saw him anywhere else and didn't know he was Donald Trump, you'd be like, this motherfucker's crazy. That would be the only thing you'd have to say, because these are the words of an insane human being. There's nothing about him that speaks to a presidential heir in any sense. Not even the suits, as poorly tailored and poorly, all that money, you can't get somebody to measure a suit to fit your big ass. See a problem here, Donnie. I can probably safely assume that if you've listened this far, especially if you saw the title of the episode, you either have your feelings made up about Trump or you just wanted to see where I was going to go with this. And if you haven't been paying attention by now, you got a taste of it. Yeah, the man is an absolute monster. He's not actually really a human being in my personal estimation. He's one of the lizard people that people joke about. If you're going to talk about conspiracy theorists, there's one for you. Donald J. Trump is a lizard person. That's why he lives in Florida. That's why his skin looks like leather. That's why he's got those white circles around his eyes like a lizard. Because his eyes are always closed, always wide open. Then when they close them, there's just nothing but scaly white skin around them. Yeah, he's a lizard person, man. He takes that skin off every night, and they soak it in some lanolin so he can slide back into it the next day. There's your conspiracy theory for the week. All right. That has been the podcast, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, he's and they's, them's and gays. I love you guys so much. I appreciate you, and I can't wait for you to come back for the next one. Again, thank you to everybody for sharing the podcast around wherever you have. Be sure to check out the Patreon this week. I will be posting a short video there describing a little bit more about how the new podcast setup is going to go, and also show off the new business cards when they arrive. So hopefully that'll go up Friday, maybe sooner if the business cards come a little sooner. We shall see. In the meantime, in between time, I love you guys. Hopefully I will see you maybe today. I'm going to try to stream a little bit. I was debating what I'm going to do today, so we'll figure that out as I go. But if I'm streaming today, it should be Wednesday, November 11th, 2024. Hopefully you come and check me out over on Twitch. And then, yeah, outside of that, you know where to catch me. Patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios. I'll see you a little further on down the road, guys. Take it easy. Peace.